you know, just for the hell of it, just like because they can't.
Dude, I've been wanting to do that. So
just seeing like a promoted post, it's just like you suck.
Like I've been thinking like, about.
Took a shit.
Yeah,
promote it. That'd be fucking hilarious. No, I mean, you spent $6 on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted the world.
I really wanted to make sure that people knew.
I pulled fucking.
I ate a great salad.
Fucking Randy Marsh world rate.
Oh god, 9 Currics.
9 Currics. What up?
What up?
We're here.
Train wreckers.
We up in here.
Kid Logic.
Lurky.
Ghost Mode.
I realize we forgot to do that last one or the one before. One of them. One of the recent ones.
Well, sorry if we didn't say hi.
Yeah, well, no, we said hi, we just didn't say who we were.
Oh, they should know.
The mysterious voices.
That guy but, coming from over there.
What up? Yeah, this is episode 11.
Wow.
Yep. We got some questions this time around. Got a little SoundCloud. I don't want to say, well, kind of a controversy story we're going to touch on. And but yeah, let's jump into it. Fucking, you want to get right to the questions? I think the first one we could do the one-off Glitch Hop forum. I put a post up on Dubstep forum and Glitch Hop forum asking if anybody wanted to, you know, hit us with a question or a topic or something they wanted us to talk about. So, let's see. What was the Glitch Hop forum one? Oh, yeah. This one comes from Angry Ranker. It says, "Hey, Kid Logic, I enjoy the podcast a lot, but I was wondering how you guys set up each one, like, logistically. You guys have a plan for XYZ people does one podcast and then ABC does another? Is it driven mostly by who's up for it that week? Also curious what you're using to record, how you do your mic placement in the room, and how you do your mic placement in the room with a lot of people just chilling and still get it so people can follow what is being said and hear." It's actually pretty simple.
We're masters of just chilling, though.
Yeah, well, that is, yeah. I mean, that's second nature, the chilling part of that question. But we just have one mic that we set up in the, pretty much in the middle of the room. What is it, a Samson?
It's a Samson condenser mic. See. I actually got this mic for free when I got my monitors from, I think it's from American Musical.
Oh,
and
right,
I was like, maybe I'll use this for something. Yep. Podcast.
Wow. It came in handy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound bad. I mean, eventually we'd like to get to where we all have our own mic, but for now this works. Yeah, we just have two couches in the studio, chilling. And as far as who's on, it's whoever fucking actually responds when we say, hey, we're doing a podcast. We're going to try to get some more guests coming up in the near future, and like we said before, we're trying to keep this more regular, so...
Yeah, and we just record directly into SoundCard and Ableton.
Yep. And then go through, do some... We don't really do any editing other than maybe for time once in a great while, but slip in the music, put in the little stings, and...
Zany sound effects?
We should start.
Yeah.
Like, we need a soundboard guy.
It'd be funny if we're right there. Like, as we said that, I put in a little...
But yeah.
That'd
be good.
Eventually, when we're rich and famous, we'll have, you know, full-on professional production studio with each of us with a gold-plated fucking Rush Limbaugh edition.
And a pill addiction.
And it comes with the mic.
Does it come with the Rush Limbaugh haircut, though?
No, thankfully. That's an additional add-on.
Yeah, haircut.
Let's see. Other questions? Oh, and we're going to take a picture of the studio and post that up on the Facebook page so you guys can kind of get a better idea.
Just how unimpressive it is.
Yeah. How pretty.
Yeah.
You mean that couch folds out?
It looks like my basement.
It's a bed.
And a couch.
There was a... I'm not going to read this whole one, But somebody was asking us to talk about Ableton 9 and Push versus Machine, and a handful of you, the strong four, we'll call it, that have listened from the start, you guys know what's up. We actually talked about that in episode 2. It feels like forever ago.
There's some podcast new jacks.
Now, as soon as the Ableton 9 video came out, I was like, yeah, let's talk about this because it's fucking ridiculous. I mean, we're stoked on some of the features. I haven't been keeping up on it because I don't have enough money to upgrade.
Yeah,
that's
I think we'll definitely be revisiting that topic when one of us has a Push and we're all running 9 and...
Yeah, I haven't
actually
even...
be a little bit more knowledgeable about it.
Or we know a few people that have.
Yeah, I haven't seen one. Yeah, I haven't even seen one in person yet.
Yeah, so
I know they're back ordered wherever I've looked at them, and then I heard numerous stories that it just wasn't running very well initially out of the when it first was released. But
that's,
I mean, that's
every
any
launch,
hardware.
Yeah. And that was actually that question was from Asymmetric. The other part of his question, topic suggestion, was Machine versus Push, which we kind of talked about it a little bit on there, on that same episode. Basically, like I put in the post, I don't think there is a debate of Machine versus Push. I think they're pretty different. Like, it seems like you can do basically the same things with them, but I think the intention behind the design makes it harder to do one thing versus another, and I think Push should be thought of as more of an instrument in and of itself because of some of the, you know, the more melodical things you can do with that. Like, yeah, that playing interface is crazy.
I look at Machine as being more as a competitor with, like, a MPC.
Yeah, no, like, I was... When it first came out, I was explaining it to OD, who was all about MPCs. And I was like, think of it like this. Machine is to an MPC what Serato is to turntables. It's like, you know, it's connected to a computer via USB and it has a much larger bank, handles everything digitally, but essentially it's a digital version of that analog tool. You know, that's and I think because of that, like, Machine should be looked at as I don't think they live in the same space. I think Machine and Push are different enough that you could have them both, and I don't think it needs to be an either or.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a gear junkie, I'd definitely see wanting both.
Yeah.
And you're looking at two different, very different software companies that back it, so.
That was pretty much it for the actual questions.
There was one, that was sent to the Train Wreckers Facebook page. I can't bring it up for some reason.
My phone will take a minute, so we'll fucking... I want to do some other shout-outs for some of the other people that were, you know, posted on those two, but my phone is a piece of shit, and it's slow as fuck, so...
And this goes back to the, I guess, one of the first questions, you know, how do we prepare for stuff and get things in order? We don't.
Yeah, we really...
We just don't.
You know, we share articles with each other throughout the weeks, you know, the week and a half leading up to each episode, and just fucking bring those up. Like that, I don't want to get into it just yet, but the SoundCloud one that we're going to talk about in a minute, that's a pretty good one. And actually, one that we can kind of talk about while I'm looking this shit up is the DJ... Which one was it? Was it Digital DJ Tips or...
The Habits
DJ,
of the...
Yeah.
That was DJ Tech Tools.
Yeah, DJTechTools.com had a really good article of, like...
Habits of a Mediocre DJ.
Yeah, Habits of a Mediocre DJ, and then there was another one, like, three misconceptions I had that kept me from becoming a better DJ and shit like that. And,
I think that was on a Digital DJ Tips.
Yeah, maybe. I might be getting my sites mixed up. Those two are both really good.
We'll have to link.
Yeah. but the Habits of Mediocre DJ, without having it in front of me, like, I hate to say, but I was falling into some of those. It was just like not searching for tunes hard enough, playing the same mixes week to week, you know, just general mediocrity that a lot of us working DJs kind of fall into. Like, if you're playing at least once a week, preferably two or three times a week, or, you know, 10 times a month, like, that's a lot of time on the stage in front of people, and, you know, you don't necessarily, once you get to that point, you don't necessarily have the time to practice, or you don't feel it's as necessary as it, as you should think of it, and...
It's, I think it's also about staying enthused.
That's, yeah, that's definitely part of it. It's hard to stay stoked about playing out when you play for an empty crowd, like... You know, like, even if you have fun and your homies are all like, that was, you know, dope, like,
it still
kind of stings a little bit when you go home and you're like, yeah, that was, like, I had two free drinks out of that, like, you know, especially, I've only had the opportunity a handful of times, but I've played for some pretty large crowds and, like, it sucks when, like, that flashes into your mind when you're playing for an empty fucking Tuesday night bar downtown somewhere. That
yeah, you're like, I could be having...
yeah.
You mean I could be at home watching Netflix?
Yeah. I could be...
Where everyone else must be.
Oh, shit, I'm on the wrong page.
They're not dancing here.
Oh, duh. Couldn't find the page for a second there. But yeah, I think we'll link that one. I think the really interesting thing was there was actually a good comment at the end where a dude was like, yeah, this was me, you know, all these things I can say I did, and after reading this I realized it and, you know, went back and kind of looked at how I was doing things and remembered how it was back in the day. And I mean, I can honestly say I don't want to say I haven't been giving it my all every time I've been playing out, because I still enjoy it when I get there, but I don't put the time in ahead of time like I used to, and I definitely don't practice. Like, I had to drag myself to spin last Sunday when I played for Data Fruits. But once I finally got up and did it, I was having a blast. I played for 45 minutes longer than I expected to, and definitely can't wait to do it again. but yeah, like, fuck, when I started, I literally... And I'm not saying that as an overused word. Like, I honestly, literally played for 8 hours a day more than once in that first 6 months that I had it, that I had my tables. Like, I had the best roommates in the world because they could not give a fuck. And I literally was banging, like, terrible house on Gemini XL 100s. So that shit was nowhere near mixed. Like, looking back, no fucking way was I hitting any of those mixes. For 8 hours straight, just cranked. Like, one of the old roommates left this big ass bass guitar amp, so I had this bass amp cab with 4 12s in it.
Oh god!
And then I had like 4 home stereo systems all hooked up to this one amp. My fucking shitty ass XL100s, rubber band belt driven, fucking with. They were the ones that were all plastic, and they have a separate pitch fader for 33 and 45. And it's like, the throw on it is like an inch and a half, and the actual knob is fucking an inch.
Wow.
And they were hard as fuck.
Wow.
But, you know, and I fucking, 8 hours of fucking getting at it. Like, I used to do that shit. I don't think I played for that long in... a very long time.
That just happens with anything that
no, it's
anybody
true.
Does for any sort of time, and trying to stay, I mean, if you can figure out the key to staying happy with what you're doing for, I mean,
yeah,
a lot of people would be very appreciative.
Oh no, for sure. And it's especially, you know, like when you're getting into something or you're learning something, like, it's a lot easier to keep that momentum going, because your next, you know, you might hit a plateau, but your next step up is going to be a lot faster than 10 years down the line.
Yeah.
And you've got the basics to where it's just as simple as breathing. Like, you know, like, I equate skateboarding and DJing often because they're very similar to me. Like, the way... Like, if you learn a little scratch trick, like, all of a sudden it opens up, like, scratch dropping and fucking, like, you know, cutting a little bit more and whatever. Just the same way as when I learned that kickflip, all of a sudden...
Oh, opened a bunch of
fucking yeah. 45 other tricks opened up. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
I feel like it also comes down to like personal choice at a certain point. Like, that's another thing. Is sometimes people, I think, feel satisfied with what they're doing.
Sure. Yeah.
So they think that they, I mean, they obviously feel satisfied with not working very hard to do.
Well, it's also like when you get started something DJing, I guess the overall goal for a lot of people is I'm going to play out in front of people, and there's that whole fear almost building up the idea, am I doing this right? Am I going to be a good performer? And that's driving you. And then you play a handful of shows and it starts to become natural and you're like, wait, that's not there anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, confidence in, at least in electronic music performance, confidence can almost be poison sometimes. Because like in that Avicii article we were talking about last week, like, that dude is far too fucking confident. Because regardless of what he's, you know, like if you're playing a set list of 30 tunes, like, you're confident that those tunes are going to go off, like, you're not going to dig looking for that next hot shit. You're just going to keep playing what you're confident is going to work.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't really thought of it like that until you said it, but that's totally true. Because, yeah, when you were hungry, you practice, I would practice sets fucking 4 hours. Like, I would spend, before every gig back in the day, I would make sure I played for an hour before I went to warm up.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't done that in years. Like, I'll be blatant about it, or blatantly honest about it. Like, I haven't quote unquote practiced for a gig in fuck. And that's not to say I don't take them seriously. It's just like, I have a different approach now, and I, you know, rely on just the fact that, like, I know I can handle my shit on the decks. I'll just fucking, you know, play these tunes that I picked, or playing my own shit especially has made me really lazy, because it's my shit, you know, like, I know where everything is. I don't have to practice it to learn it like I used to.
That article, I mean, it's about being a DJ, but I can kind of relate some of the same things to production too. It's when you first start, you don't really have like a workflow or anything at that point, and the moment you actually have your workflow down, it's like, I realize the mistakes I'm making right off the bat, and I'm not getting lost in this and looking for to figure out how things work still. Yeah. And
yeah, and it's you know, like, when you get that, when in the beginning too, when you're trying to figure out your workflow, you're just throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks.
Oh, and that trial and error phase is so much fun though, because you're like, holy shit, I just figured out how to actually mix something down or use this VST or whatever.
Holy fuck, that worked.
Yeah.
No, Loggy was telling me about something that he did with, like, it was this whole thing that it was by using the MIDI instruments on Ableton, like the what's it called, the fucking chord one, and like the tune one or something,
scale maybe. So
scale, scale and one other one, and just drawing a line and then like running it through this shit, and you can fucking make this whole thing. And I was just like I could hear the excitement in his voice that he fucking was like, I figured this fucking thing out. And I was like, holy shit, that's, and it got my mind going, and I almost wanted to crack, you know, if I didn't have shit to do, I would have cracked the computer open right then and fucking started working on something. Like, and it's that, that's a good feeling. Like, I love it, but when you do something constantly for years, like, that feeling is less and less.
Well, also, I think, like, a cure for being, for the whole confidence thing, or being stuck in a mediocre rut or whatever, how the article was saying, it's like, talk to your peers. Actually, like, get with other people and play with them, not just at shows, but like, sit down and produce tracks together, sit down and fucking mix together, and like, see something that you think, see somebody that's on your level do something you don't normally do, and be like, oh wait, I haven't approached my workflow or the way I play music like this. That's a cool little thing. And it just opens up a box at that point. It's like, okay, there's a whole other approach to this.
Yeah. Even if it's just one little thing where you're like, why did you do that? And then that turn, you know, the explanation can fucking spark a bunch of shit in your mind. And then, yeah, no, once I fucking got myself off the couch and actually did the Data Fruits show on Sunday, like, now I'm like, I can't wait to fucking, like, I can't wait for this weekend, because my girl's going to be volunteering for the Bridgetown Comedy Fest all weekend, so when I can't get to some of the shows that she's going to be at, I'm going to have actual time at home with no one there for once and can fucking train wreck when I'm trying some shit. I can fucking just do the same mix 10 times in a row and figure some shit out again. Like, I used to get off on that. Like, I was telling you about that drum and bass mix that I found a couple weeks back. Like, I need to repost that somewhere. But I literally did that shit 60 times. It was something I was keeping track, because after like 30, I was like, okay, I should just see how many times this takes. It was something like 62 times before I finally nailed it where I was happy with it. And like, that's 60, like, I would get at least a half hour through every time that I counted. So that's, you know, at least 30 hours there of playing the same 15, 20 records. Not to mention the time putting it together, where I was like literally playing 30 seconds of one record into 30 seconds of another for 5-6 hours at a time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I used to love that. I don't fucking do that at all anymore. Like, I hope it doesn't show. I feel like it probably does. But at the same time, no offense to anybody who just got into the scene, but these kids can't tell the fucking difference. Like, part of the reason why I did that was putting in, like trying to tell a story with my mixes or fucking...
There are very few shows I go to now where I'm like, this just felt like one long... Sounds so cliche, but this felt like a journey.
Yeah.
Like, this... It was a fucking mix, and it had its highs and its lows, and it was dynamic, yeah. And it wasn't one thing slammed in your face after another. Somebody was... It's weaving not about, a story.
It was a drop after drop after drop after drop.
It's not about the show anymore, really. It's like about the performer.
Yeah.
It's about, instead of being about you, like, I feel like in everything, kind of, the customer has definitely been diminished. The audience or whatever. It's like,
it's not like an overall experience. It's like watching somebody else's experience.
Yeah. It's like, you get to pay to come see me. And it's like, no, you're coming here to do, as at the same time as...
For a long time, I felt like that was the difference between, like, going to a rave and then going to a club to see a DJ, but I feel like the past couple of years with just...
It's all the same now.
Yeah, it's all the same, and if you're not playing bangers out for a crowd that expects bangers, you're screwed. Like,
yep.
There's no...
I feel like they... But at the same time, it's just something that... The more people cater to it and feed it,
it just
creates this, like, ugly monster of a beast of a, like, audience that's,
oh,
like...
Oh, that beast is fucking reared its ugly head already. And laid children, and fucking those children have fucking...
It's also what genres are hot, too. I mean, that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. The reason that Molly Groot even became into existence, like, it's this mishmash hodgepodge of what's hot. Like... DJs aren't... Like, I'm putting together for a jungle night in a couple weeks a mostly jump-up jungle set of, like, as new of stuff as I can find. And it's fun to think in one genre for once.
Yeah.
You know, like, to look for something so specific and be, you know, like, it's... going back to, like, how it used to be, like, I kind of miss that about it.
Which is kind of funny, because I feel like when it wasn't that way, people were like... Things are going to get experimental. There's going to be crossover. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. And the result for a lot of people was like, it's basically slammed in your face over and over.
It came at the same time as the popularization and the democratization of EDM.
Yeah.
So, like, wherein you've got a handful, a pretty large handful, actually, of DJs who can do that, like, well and coherently and put together a fucking sick set across 35 genres and kill it. You have Johnny No Name, who's just learning how to mix, thinking he can do that.
Yeah.
And
I mean, if you're a tastemaker, you're a tastemaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously everybody who DJs, not everybody, but a lot of them are trying to be viewed as that. And there's far less people now who are like, I'm a jungle DJ.
Yeah.
I'm a footwork DJ.
I think only the old heads who used to fly their flags are still flying them.
That's, and that's how it seems. Like, I mean, I look at a lot of the older drum and bass and jungle crowd, and they're still just very loyal to the idea. I only spin jungle. I only spin drum and bass. But most people who are attached to the newer genres are just like, I'm playing what's banging right now. I play club music.
Yeah. I think even, it's funny with the jungle shit, I think part of what, because sonically they go together really well, the jungle and footwork. But I also think the scenes just appreciate each other too, because they've always, like, both of them have been their own kind of little independent thing. Like, jungle was, fuck, we were fighting to get in the main room always. Like, it was always backroom shit.
Yeah, I mean, jungle was always, it's always been the redhead stepchild compared to.
And because of that, like, jungle is fucking stuck together like crazy. Like, oh, you like jungle? Fuck, dude, let's go burn one. You know, like.
Because we were in that dark room back in the day.
All 10 of us, while the main room was packed.
Yeah.
Yeah. With 10 of us just like, this shit, fucking that big room house shit can suck a dick. This is where it's at.
I think that cultivated something that, I mean, that dark room vibe.
Oh, for sure.
That was like, all right, well, it's like, well, it's always played in a small, darker corner of everything. There's less people.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, I mean.
Nobody gives a fuck about us.
Yeah, exactly.
We're over here doing what we want.
And then once that's, like, thrust in, it loses that, the kind of, it's like, all of a sudden the bright lights are shined on it, and you're like, wait, this doesn't feel the same. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, ugly when they have the bright light on.
Exactly. It's like, can we go back to the other room, and you guys can have this one again?
Yeah, as fun as they were, like, those massives we threw down in L.A. with Grapevines, like, they did kind of, like, bring it. Like main room, or not main room, but just drum and bass, like, all night at the Key Club on the Sunset Strip was cool. It was amazing. And it was very novel. But at the same time, there was always something in the back of my head, like, this isn't club music. And we're at a club that's mentioned in not one, but a couple of Dr. Dre tunes. In, like, you know, like, we played, actually, we did a Champion Sounds at the Century Club, and we did the next Champion Sounds at the Key Club. And he mentioned the Century Club on one of the albums and Key Club on the next one. It was just like, it was weird. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not saying they shouldn't have happened, but there was just something, like you're saying, just something weird about it when you bring it out of that dingy back room and get all those kids in camo into a fucking club on the Sunset Strip.
It's the same thing with them, you know, this year. There's going to be a lot of stadium. I fucking hate the term. Stadium EDM.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah, speaking of that, I saw, like, the most, and maybe it's just me being me, but I saw this invite for an event I got on Facebook that was, like, a Daft Punk tribute show where it's not even Daft Punk. It's two guys dressed up as Daft Punk playing Daft Punk songs and remixes. And it's like, there was like something like 500 people saying they were going to this shit.
We've really gotten to that point.
Which is like, okay, I can see there's some great bands. There's some great acts out there. I will never have the opportunity to see. I'm never going to see fucking Led Zeppelin. That's just not going to happen. I'm not going to see the Beatles.
Cover them.
So there's a cover band. Okay, cool. It makes sense. Daft Punk's touring right now. So somebody's like, oh, we're going to dress up like Daft Punk and have a tribute show? They're not dead or anything. What the fuck?
I mean, do a cover band with a...
That was my big gripe. I'm like, isn't this kind of shitting on the idea of some people who are talented producers getting up there and playing live and, like, getting your money because they make songs, play them live? It's part of their act of why you want to go see them.
Yeah.
Or you could just turn on an iPod and charge the same amount of money and say it's a tribute and have two guys in fucking helmets up there.
Yeah, no, that's pretty fucking ridiculous.
But that kind of goes with the whole stadium thing you're saying. Like, I think it's kind of almost
No, I've seen that genre name, Stadium EDM.
Hold on, I'm just talking about show, like people touring. You know, when you go from that lower club level tier up to, all of a sudden, now you don't play clubs anymore. You play stadiums.
And I think EDM has gotten to a point where there's a fan base that is indifferent of who's playing, but being like, it's big enough to be at this giant venue or stadium or convention center. I just want to go for that reason alone. That's why I'm going.
Yeah. No, that's why I went to the last EDC I went to was just like, part of it was just like, I was working at a record store. I got a free ticket because I was working there. I wasn't planning on going. And somebody was like, it's at the LA Coliseum. I was like, you know what? I need to see that. Yeah. I want to see a rave so big that it fills the fucking LA Coliseum. And it was crazy. That shit, I did not enjoy it like I've enjoyed Massive's years before that. And that was only like, that was probably 06 or 07 when I went to the last EDC. It was insane to see fucking 10,000 people on the floor of the Coliseum in the open air with crazy lasers and Ferris wheels and all that shit. Yeah. Just being like, I remember my first 200-person in a warehouse in Denver rave, and to go from that to this in less than 10 years is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. I feel like there's more and more stuff that's being built around the idea. There's a shit ton of people here. It doesn't really matter who's playing. By the way, tickets are $200.
Yeah.
See, that's, I think there's the people buying into whatever. They're like, well, whatever, you know, this is...
Come to this stadium. We're going to spray you with water or paint.
The thing about, there's like this mystery around electronic music.
Yeah.
So people, they don't, when they start listening to it, they always kind of want to be like, no, I've been listening to it, but like, you know, what's good? And then, so they're always kind of like poking, they don't want to be like, I don't know anything about this. And so they just like, they'll buy the tickets to the shows that they hear people talking about, even though they don't know anything about it. So there's just this like this whole whirlwind of things tumbling down. It's
this hype culture shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's also people who are just fueled by the idea. Oh, there's a lot of other people doing it. It must be good.
Mm-hmm. Now I see.
I kind of ties in with the SoundCloud.
Yeah. You know, I was just gonna like segue into that, but like I see EDM kind of becoming what rock was 15 years ago, where you have your main poppy shit. Metallica's, you know, pop metal at that point. Like, grunge was all over the radio. But even with all that, even when Nirvana was fucking going platinum with In Utero, you still had punk bands way down.
Oh, yeah.
Super independent level. Like, even though independent doesn't mean what it used to, like, way back, like, when there was one dude mailing out cassettes from a P.O. box, like, that shit will never die, and that's kind of what I see. Electronics is going to have this under-tier of a proper... There's going to be a proper underground again, and this quote-unquote underground is going to just be realized as an actual
that's
pop.
That's kind of the interesting thing about it. It's like electronic music for a long time never really had that difference between this is the pop mainstream and this is the underground. I mean, I remember when I listened to, I don't know, just any genre I was into before electronic music, I listened to fucking metal. Well, I was listening to shit on Relapse Records, and people who were listening to, like you said, Metallica or Slayer,
yeah,
I was like, dude, you're listening to like fucking commercialized metal. Yeah. Like, you need to get into this shit that you probably haven't heard of. Check it out. Like, that divide, I mean, it's never really been that big in electronic music.
Yeah, it was there, but even like way back in mid-2000s, like, you had a genre of house called commercial house that was, you know, was understood what that sound was, but it was still part of the underground.
Yeah.
Like, even the most commercial of commercial house was still
deep. And of course there's exceptions like Paul Oakenfold or I mean, that you have to rule that out.
Trance has always been pop. And like, once it turned from actual trance, like mid-90s trance, into the Euro trance, kind of when that shit finally overtook. Like, then it just became pop music.
Yeah.
That was European pop, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that's what I see happening with the scene, the quote, you know, the underground now. Like, it's just going to normalize, and you'll have the pop side of things and the proper underground side of
things. It seems like it'll be really messy with this, like, kind of faux underground pop, like, the EDM wants to have that look of being underground, but yeah. Then
you look at other genres, and the same process happened.
Yeah.
I remember with when I listened to a lot of punk music,
Warped Tour,
somebody would come and be like, Sum 41 is fucking punk rock. And you're like, dude,
no, I'm gonna kick you
really
in the face.
Have you ever listened to The Exploited? Like,
that's victim.
That's fucking punk rock. Like,
you know,
there's always gonna be somebody pulling the strings that's like, if we make this image look like it's underground, or they're the underdog, it's gonna attract these kids who just, that they're more worried about the image or being attached to something than actually caring about music.
Yeah, no, Warped Tour is, like, and that's kind of where I see the parallel. Like, if you look at EDC from way back, Electric Daisy Carnival, that party that used to happen in LA, that is now apparently, they're doing an EDC in London this year. I was like, if that's not a sign of where shit is, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
There's an EDC, I think they're doing
Vegas.
LA, Vegas. Like, it's EDC week in LA now. It's an entire week. It's like a citywide festival with, like, there's a Bass Rush party one night. Like, a fucking, it looks in, like, I haven't really looked too deep into it, but it looks crazy. They're doing a Miami one, they're doing a Chicago one, they're doing a New York one, and now they're doing a London one. And I bet next year there'll be another stop in Europe somewhere. Paris or some shit.
Who's funding that one now?
Insomniac. He brought that shit from a breaking into warehouses.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure party. If it was the same one or if it had been shipped off to someone else. No,
nope, it's the same dude, Insomniac, like, who runs Insomniac. But I kind of forgot where that was going. But yeah, it's that fake kind. Well, the parallel to Warped Tour. That's what I was saying. Like, you look way back to the first Warped Tour. And when it was just Epitaph. And,
oh, dude, I remember the early Warped Tours, like Bad Religion, Hatebreed.
Those lineups were ridiculous.
Fucking everything that was just popping off at that point.
And if you would have went, like, there were no kids. There were no, like, little skater punk kids with their parents and fucking whatever. Like proper mosh pits and, like, a proper, you know, like, you had the skate ramp over here and the fucking stage. And shit was sick and it was fun. And now, like, Warped Tour is just a stupid parody of itself.
But festivals have gotten so hot.
True, true, true.
I think it's kind of the same with anything. The first time you go anywhere or do something, when you realize something, then all of a sudden more people start going there, and then it reaches its mass. It's like, well, this can't be funny.
I also have to admit, it's a little bit of, like, human nature to be nostalgic, and if you've done something before other people, it's like, well, it was better that first time.
No, and you know, for fucking, if there's any, like, 17-year-old kids who just found EDM listening, we probably sound like their parents.
Yeah, what's that, like, damn music you're listening to?
But, like, I'm sorry. Like, as much as, like, I fully understand that, In my opinion, going to a rave of 300 to 1,000 people, not even giving a fuck who's on the tables because you know it's going to be quality music, and just dancing. Like, it wasn't about, because we were saying that a minute ago, like, it's shifted from being about the experience, the party, the atmosphere, everything as a whole, to being a parade of egos on a stage. Like, the first couple of raves that I went to, there wasn't a stage. There was, like, the DJ booth was set up in the corner, and more often than not, it would just be a wall of speakers in front, and the DJ would be over, you know, to the left or to the right of it, kind of off in the back, like, where you could see him, but he was definitely not the main focus.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you had to look for him.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't like, lit up and up.
Yeah, I saw Rectangle in Boulder, and I could walk right up to the fucking plastic folding Walmart table that the turntables were set on. Like, and there was a whole room of people behind me that could have given a fuck who was on the decks. Like, they were just having a good time. And to me, like, that's a more pure experience, in my opinion, and it's more like I got a lot more out of that than I think I would get out of going to see somebody at the Roseland do a concert. And I think I feel like these kids are kind of missing out on that.
For me, I think that, like, if you're gonna see like a DJ or performer type, it just seems like you'd want to see them in a really close type environment, not where like they're behind a security gate. And there's like a stage, and then all this
stuff.
It's just like, that seems ridiculous from like a guy that came from setting up his stuff on cinder blocks and a piece of plywood, or like, you know.
I also think there's this thing where it's like, I'm watching somebody play music that I can go and talk to. They're just like me. I could go and kick it with them, blah, blah. But when you watch somebody, it's like, oh, yeah, you get on a plane and pop balls of champagne on stage and spray it in people's face. Like,
ride a raft across.
I don't want to feel like I'm out of touch with the people that I'm associating what I listen to all the time. I like that human element. Like,
I'm trying to share something with you. I'm not trying to fucking slap you in the face with my dick.
Exactly. Like,
yeah. I would like to find a way. As much as I like going to the bar and hearing music I'd much rather hear than shitty punk or whatever, well, not punk, but shitty rock and shit off of a jukebox, like, you know, being able to go to Crown or to Tube or wherever and hear some forward-thinking bass music while I drink beers is nice. I would give it up in a second to have a few real proper warehouse rave experiences happening again in this town. Because I think once they happened and the new kids who are just getting into EDM went to something like that.
I think we're also living in a different.
No, it is totally different time.
It fucking sucks like a lot. But anything, there's that right to assembly is not very open. I mean, that open. Of where people just gather, because there used to be a spot down here in Portland behind the university in St. John's, and it was an old like incinerator and stuff, and there were people that called it like Pirate Town or all sorts of whatever, but it was these old buildings that no one used. They'd been down there for a while, and people had built ramps down there, and over the course of years, all sorts of different people have used it for like paintballing, suicide girls shot photos down there.
I don't know.
Skate videos were filmed, like, people spun fire down there, you could do whatever you wanted down there. And then it got into the newspaper at some point, and all these people started taking notice in it, and it got shut down, taken away. And it's just like, well, it's like that one of those things that's like too good to be true. They just had to shut.
It's funny, I listened to Radiolab. And they did one a while back about the topic of emergence, which is the name for the theory of when things just kind of start to sync up. Like, and just us talking right now just reminded me, they were talking about ants and how the hive mind of ants works. Like, basically they lay down a scent, like the scout ants go out and they lay down a scent trail and other ants will follow it, and you know, if they find something after a certain point, then they follow that back to the hive. But if they don't find anything, then eventually they'll just branch off and start looking at their own shit.
Mm-hmm.
But once they, like, if, say, one ant goes down and he finds a crumb and he comes back, the next ant comes up and he sees that this trail's double layered with scents. It's way stronger, so he's going to follow it. He doesn't know why he's following it, but he's following it.
Right.
And he finds another chunk of that food, he brings it back. So now this trail's twice or four times as strong. Two more ants smell it because it's fucking, you know. And as that goes, that's when you get the conga line of ants. They're just building up, and each one of them laying a scent trail, which makes this thing fucking irresistible to them. So then they find that piece of food, and they take it, and once there's nothing there, then the trail starts to dissipate. It's very similar to how this shit's working. Like,
yeah.
You know, people... like we were saying before, like, oh, tons of people are into Skrillex. I better check that out. I don't really understand it, but they think it's cool, so, you know, I'm going to... And then the backlash
starts. I don't want to miss out.
Yeah, I don't want to miss out. This seems to be popular. And then the backlash starts and the scent trail fades. Yeah. Moves on to the next fucking little crumb.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But on that, let's take a break. Come back. We'll go top in the streets and a little SoundCloud talk and be out.
Yeah. Word.
First,
he's on roller skates.
Watch this monkey ride a dog.
Yeah,
I'll watch that shit all day. You ever seen that one video of the fucking? There's the monkey. There's a dog tied up, and the monkey keeps running out and hitting the dog with a stick on the ass.
Yeah,
and then it chases him, and then he swings around the tail and goes, or he grabs the monkey, or he grabs the dog's tail. That's what it is. Swings around the pole and does it again. We're back. Yeah, we're going to talk about this really well-written SoundCloud likes buying scandal article. I like that he called it juicing.
It's
juicing the numbers.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's fucking artificially enhancing your numbers.
SoundCloud steroids.
SoundCloud steroids. The article we're talking about is on, what was it, five? Oh, fuck.
I'll pull it up.
Fivemusic.com?
Yeah, I think that was right.
It's a house music blog out of Chicago.
It's fivechicago.com.
Fivechicago.com. And it's actually one of the better written articles I've read. Like, even though we're going to talk through it, like, definitely go read this thing, because...
How to become a SoundCloud star, one fake fan at a time.
That's the article in question, and basically to sum it up, and like I said, still read it, because the dude, like, I can't say enough, like, in this day and age of fucking puked out, half thought out blog posts, and fucking constant copy and paste plagiarism, like, this was a really well written, well researched, well thought out, journalistically fucking sound article. Like, CNN should be doing shit this good. And not really exaggerating. But the long and short of the article is the dude is the main editor, I think, of the site. And he got a promo submission. He does reviews mostly. It's mostly house music reviews on the site. He got a promo submission from some kid in country. I think he calls him Louie. He's names withheld to protect the innocent, but... or the guilty in this situation, but calls him Louie. Louie sent dude a track, and it was just kind of whatever. Pretty nondescript, pretty boring, typical wannabe deep house track.
For promo.
And yeah, for promo, the dude asked him to review it in broken English, and he listened to it, wasn't really that impressed, but noticed that it had something like 27,000 plays. And he was like, now wait a minute. I've seen artists writing shit three times as good as this who only have 1,000 plays. What's going on here? and kind of looked into it. So he went to the dude's profile, and on the profile is one song with 27,000 plays.
Wow.
And five or six others with 100 to 500 plays each. He's like, all right, something's fucking not right here. So he hits the dude back up and just starts candidly, like, asking him, how did, you know, what did you do? How'd this happen? He's like, not trying to talk shit, but your song isn't anything special, and where did all these plays come from? Talked the dude in, or convinced the dude that if he kept him anonymous, you know, to let him ask him some questions, and got the skinny on it. Dude signed up for, or Louis signed up for some service. I forget the name of it. He says it in the article.
There's a ton of them.
But yeah, there's fucking, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, if you're a SoundCloud, 15 of them. If you're a SoundCloud user, you'll probably be spammed with one of them at some point anyways.
SoundCloudPlays.com. Yeah. If it's not one, it will be by the time this article's live, or this podcast is live. But so he signed up for their service, paid the $60 or whatever it was. It's like $59.99. And they went to work and got Homeboy approximate. I think he said he claims he paid for 15,000 plays. So according to him, 12,000 of them are legitimate, which I'm going to call bullshit on that. I would say he probably paid for, makes sense that the package would be 25,000 plays.
Yeah.
So 2,000 legitimate plays off the back of that 25,000 paid for plays. He also paid for some other service to help him with the promo to blogs, which ran him about $40. So for $100, he bought himself enough promotion that got him 27,000 plays, got him featured on a handful of music sales sites, download sites, because he would submit it to them. He got the promo that he paid for to say, hey, look at how many plays I've got.
Ignoring the SoundCloud part, which is just janky, I mean, I could see paying for syndication or like
press releases. That's not what this is, though.
But yeah, that's just...
That's not what it is. He paid for the press release, yeah. Basically, that's what I think the other service was like some press, like a...
Because there's always people who can do that better.
It says that he paid $45 for 20,000 plays.
Okay.
And then he paid $53 separately for the comments.
Oh,
that's what it was. Okay.
And all of the comments are bot comments.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was something that a guy was saying. He's like, I went and started looking through his followers and his commenters, and it would be like William Jacob, like, would be the name, and there would be a picture of a hot girl. Like, he's like, you could easily tell who the bots were and who the real followers were.
I've came across some, too, that have been before where they'll spam you comments on your page. And so, before I've went and, like, looked and seen, like, what their page, and their page has been, like, three or four songs, and they're, like, full of comments, but all the comments are from the same looking, and you go to those icons, and all of them only have the tracks favorited on that page.
Yeah.
And it's like those four, it's like, well, this is all fake.
It makes me wonder how many people out there are using these services and aren't trying to be malicious or cheat the system, but are actually like foolish enough to be like, I'm getting real listens, this is how I'm getting exposure.
Yeah.
But you're not, it's a fucking bot.
Well, there's probably a handful of those for sure, and I think there's more than that. I think there's a lot of kids like Louis who are like, this is just what you do.
Yeah.
This is how it works now. And I can't really fault that argument. It kind of is. Like, you can grow your shit organically, but it's not going to happen overnight. And if you're hungry and you want this shit to, you know, if you can't fucking wait in this instant download fucking, you know, instant gratification society, like, you're gonna pay for it.
I guess there's two different sides of the spectrum. There's people who are using SoundCloud to try and get instant popularity off of it, and then there's people who are more like, this is a litmus test for the tracks I'm releasing to see if people actually dig it. I don't need to have a million followers. I want to have 1,000 followers and know that they're all people that dig the music.
Yeah.
And that when I release something, the response that I get off of this track is actually telling me I did a good job, or this is the crowd I write for favors this stuff. Yeah. And then there's people like Louie who are like, this is how I get to drive around in a helicopter and pop bottles of champagne.
I'm glad he called it out in the article, but he calls it flat out payola.
Mm-hmm.
It's payola for this age.
It is.
And the main difference is that, like he says in the article, the main difference is that back in the radio days, at least the station got something out of it.
Yeah.
SoundCloud being the station is getting nothing. Like, the payola has gone directly from, you know, promoter to producer and skipping the medium entirely. So SoundCloud's not even making anything.
I feel like this was also kind of like a flash in the pan problem. I feel like it's not going to be around very long. It might be.
It'll correct itself, but I don't know how quickly it's going to happen.
I see with like the way YouTube pulled all those views off.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like more and more it's going to be cracked down on. There's going to have to be some sort of.
It's not just that. I feel like the more people use something, be it Facebook or SoundCloud, the more aware you become of the bullshit on it.
Yeah, true. Just like at first you used to actually read the comments on YouTube.
Yeah. Right.
Now it's like you only go in there if you really want to forget.
Or you're like,
how
on Facebook or MySpace, and you're like, oh hey, a cute chick's hitting me up. You actually fell for that.
Yeah. On MySpace, yeah. On MySpace, it was like, wait. Oh, she's kind of okay. Where's she from? Oh, she's from my town.
Yeah. Cindy 9.
She wants a cat talk on it. Cindy 9000 wants to talk on a can? Let's get it, girl.
Yeah. For 1999?
Oh. Her MySpace page has glitter on it and it's pink.
And it just crashed my browser.
Yeah. And fuck. I have malware.
And that's, I mean, I think we're slowly getting there to the point with internet users where it's just like, we can fucking sniff out the bullshit.
You know, I see it on both sides.
There's two bubbles. Like, I feel like the people that think that we're getting to that point, we live in a different world than all the people that still open spam mail that says, help, I'm from Nigeria.
Sure.
And I'm a prince. And it's how many princes are there, really?
I just heard this thing, somebody, I don't remember if it was a Facebook post or if I overheard it or what, but like somebody was talking about, they got a phone call. It was at Ash Street the other night. They got a phone call from somebody and they were like, oh, we just got a report. Hi, I'm from Microsoft and I just got a report that there is malicious software on your computer. I need you to go to this browser page right now and blah, blah, blah. And like, this was somebody called someone on the fucking telephone.
Damn.
Like, dude was like, you know, he's like a mid-30s, whatever, so he was like, yeah, right, whatever, fuck off. I was just, you know, I haven't been online all day. But grandma is going to go,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, what? Oh, I better do that right now. Like, you know, like, there's still, we are the minority when it comes to that. I hate it, but it's true. Like, there are a ton of people who go to SoundCloud just for the fact of, I want to hear this guy's thing, I want to favorite this. So I'm going to sign in with Facebook and create my account. And they don't know about this buying shit. And they're skimming through, because I'm guilty of it too. Like, I'll be skimming through artists. And if I'm looking for something to download, like, and I'm pressed for time for whatever reason, I'm going to go for the shit that's got a bigger number. I'm going to listen to it first. Like, I listen to it before I download it. But I'm going to listen to that first before the thing that's been up for a month and has 10 listens. And that's not fair, but that's the way we've been kind of trained on the internet.
Damn, you're just as guilty as the people going to the big raves with the.
That's true.
I mean, heard about it. I do the other. I like reverse it.
If
I see a huge follower number, I almost don't follow people on SoundCloud if they have like a huge something weird about.
I don't go for huge. I go for mid. Yeah. I go for believable.
Like, this obviously hasn't been inflated to
like
shit.
500 to 1,000 followers is pretty safe that they know relatively what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they're not faking their shit. Like, if I see somebody who's only got 20 and they've been on for 3 years.
Yeah, like, well, that's. When you I'm see, sorry. That's the other thing, is when how long they've been signed up to how.
Yeah. And it's not that I'm not going to listen to your shit, or I'm not going to dig your shit. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm probably not going to play it out. And that's what I'm, you know, like, that's kind of the distinction. Like, if I'm searching for tunes to download to play in the next couple days, I'm looking at numbers. If I'm just looking for shit to listen to, I don't give a fuck how many followers you got. Yeah. Because some of the coolest shit I've ever heard is from some dude that's got 3 followers on MySpace.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and yeah. But yeah, it's payola for the modern age. And SoundCloud, I hate... Like, dude even says it in the article. He's like, I don't see a downside. Other than a moral one, I don't see a downside. And if you don't see it as... It's like somebody who grew up with being able to download anything they want for free. They don't see it as being a bad thing. Like,
yeah.
I grew up spending money on CDs and understanding that there was, like we were talking about before, listening to punk music and knowing that if I bought something on Epitaph, like way back in the day, or Fat way back when Mike started that shit, like it was probably somebody in their office building folding that shit up and mailing it to my record store because I special ordered it. It's not quite...
It's like a terrible example, but it's like, oh, I play sports. I can play in fucking flip-flops, or I can go and get the fucking nice shoes to play basketball and have the advantage. Like, that's... I think some people see it that way, where it's just like, this is just part of the competitive game.
Yep. You know, and that's been that way forever. Like, fuck, I watch a lot of just antenna TV because of the fucking, like, we don't have cable. Cable, like, I'm in the minority on that too, but, like, cable's stupid. I don't want to pay that much money just to have fucking the handful of shows that I would watch that I can get online for less than that anyway. But when we just want to watch something and have it on in the background or whatever, we just put on the air channels. And there's one called Antenna TV that's all old fucking sitcoms and shit, 80s and 70s and shit. And WKRP plays on there a lot. And that show is awesome. And there's an episode on there where they do the payola thing where this slimy record exec comes in and he works his magic to get the fucking his DJ to get the morning slot. So he's got a primetime slot. And then the record exec has a deal where he gives him coke. And they're fucking... I was like, holy shit, this is like a sitcom in the 80s. Like, they're blatant about it. They pull out a bag of fucking coke. Like, he hands him the new... He's like, here's the new releases for this week. And I think you're gonna... As he taps on it, he's like, I think you're gonna really like this one. And then the guy leaves and then picks up the... He picks up that promo and fucking tips it over and a fucking bag of coke slides out. And he's like... And he's like slapping it on his finger and shit, getting ready to do some.
Oh, the 80s.
Yeah. Like when you could fucking be that blatant about shit on TV.
No one was watching.
But it was like, that was the thing. Like when the Supreme Court came down and was like, okay, record labels are not allowed to pay radio stations cash for favor. They came up with all these sneaky workarounds.
Of course.
Cocaine, free trips. Fucking tons of free music, like, hey, just play our record once an hour, man.
Yeah.
And then that turned into what modern radio is now. We saw how well that worked out. Now it's invading SoundCloud, where it's like, yeah, man, just $45, 20,000 plays. And those, like, we didn't, like, the article goes on to say, like, I guess he wasn't paying for the promo service, he was paying for the comments, but still, he was able to craft himself a press release then to where when he submitted it to, I don't know, Juno, but it was like Track It Down, I think, and probably DigitalTunes.net and a handful of other smaller shops. He was able to get featured on the front page because he said, hey, look, my shit's big. I got 20,000 plays. Wow. And the record stores are like, he was like, it's a big secret, but you look at these digital shops and unless you Beatport, Stompy, or fuck, what's the other, probably, I can't even think, but like Beatport and Stompy for house music. I know Stompy does well, but Beatport, Attic Tech's probably doing all right. Bleep's probably doing all right. But some of these smaller shops, like 100 sales of a tune in a month is a fucking good month.
Yeah.
So they see somebody's got 20,000 plays, they're going to be like, shit, yeah, I'm going to feature this fool because he's going to at least get 100 of those back.
I just feel like it's like a band-aid of a thing. Like, if you start doing it that way, it just, like, spirals in, because then someone falsely invests in you.
Well, it turns into corporate radio.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, leads into a whole bad slew of things. And it's not even... being able to buy... The thought of spending real money for things on the internet, for, like, not real things on the internet, blows my mind.
Yeah, it's... Like, it's
the amount of money people spend on shitty, like, social media games, or, like, spending on Facebook likes, or on Twitter fan followers, or, like, SoundCloud. Anything that you're buying likes for is... It just, where's the satisfaction?
And that's what it comes down to for me, is, like...
I would feel so empty and, like, oh, I... So I, like, worked really hard and then spent my money so that I could have this false satisfaction of...
I think it's kind of like what you're saying. I worked really hard. Now, do I want to actually know people or acknowledging that, like, I worked hard, or even critiquing what I did and giving me some input? Yeah, or do I just need to inflate this shit and not really know what impact it's having?
It's the Hollywood mentality. It's the fake it till you make it shit.
I'd rather people hate the shit out of me than, like, me have this, like, false, like, oh, we love you,
Well, honestly, I'd rather know I fucking suck so I can keep trying harder.
Yeah.
Like, that's that's what it's all about, right?
And it does seem, though, I mean, you look at some of the worst sides of social media, and there's definitely those fame whores who just want 1,000 likes on their picture at whatever the cost. You know, like...
They want acknowledgement.
They want some sort of validation. And they think that fucking likes... It, because of the culture that they've grown up in, as sad as it is, like, they think that Facebook likes and fucking retweets are validation. When really, I mean, for me, fucking... If I retweet something, I got a chuckle out of it. Like, that's really all it is.
Yeah.
I think we need, like, internet etiquette, like, laws.
Yeah, I was reading an article where they were talking about how it's going so fast that we just don't, like, etiquette hasn't been able to keep up. Like, we haven't been able to, as a society, build the mores and
rules. I mean, there's rules certain rules that exist. I mean,
there
that
are
have
some,
existed.
And they've grown up slowly, like, all caps means yelling. Like, but even that, no.
Even,
there
mean,
are people who
people,
don't know.
I mean, I remember I tweeted once and I was like, I'd used all caps. I was like, does this mean I'm louder? And then someone who obviously has their thing set to pick up all tweets that are in all caps, it was like, no, we're not, because they were. Their thing was the caps locks police or something. It was like, but it's just like, it's so funny because obviously they're just prowling everybody that uses caps locks and shutting them down. Like, no. But that's the thing. I almost never use caps locks because I feel like it's shouting all. And it's just, it's like, well, I'll never use yellow on a black background. It looks ugly. Burns your eyes.
Just black background for anything text is a fucking fuck you.
Yeah, people that do that type, but there's people that don't know the...
Or people who do it on purpose.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, and if you're doing it on purpose...
Fuck you.
Fuck you. But I'll at least give you credit that you understand what you're doing, what it's doing to me, and you're trying to get that effect. Like, okay, cool. But yeah, like, if you don't understand...
Wait, no, they're trying to fuck up my eyeballs.
Just know I will hit Control A and copy it into a notepad and read it how it needs to be.
Or even just highlight it.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
But yeah, it's a... It's for me anyway, with the SoundCloud likes, I personally could never do it, and I think that's kind of what I'm gathering from you guys, is like, I could never do it because... I would feel like I didn't... It wasn't earned. Like, I would feel like I stole something.
It crosses over for me the same way as, like... Because growing up skateboarding, getting footage of, you know, or pictures or whatever... There's always people that you could edit a video or take a photo of where it's not a make.
Yeah. So, snowboarding, the same thing.
And so there's plenty of times where, sure, you have a photo of you, like, and it looks cool, but... Maybe you didn't land, and it's like, so you can't publish those. You can't use those. Because
5 seconds after that, he broke his leg.
Yeah, no. Pro tip, anytime you're watching a snowboard video, and it cuts as soon as the dude lands, he didn't land.
Yep.
He fell. I mean, a split second after.
And they shouldn't have even used. And like, I could never have got. I would always feel guilty for that. It's like I didn't make it. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it.
No, there were times where I actually. Like, quick little anecdote on that, I was, one of the last times I went, like, really charged at snowboarding. We were at Mountain High in SoCal. And we were hitting this, there was, like, a big tabletop jump that if you cut sideways into it, you could hit it like a hip launch. And, I hit it once and went to spin a five. And it was just so clean and smooth. I floated around and was able to pull the seven out at the last minute. And I was like, well, fuck, if I could do that trying a five, what if I try a fucking seven? And, like, stuck the first seven I tried on there. And then I was like, well, fuck, maybe I can hit a nine. Kind of started getting greedy with it. And the first time I tried the nine, I got it all the way around, but washed it out. And I was like, nope, that doesn't count. You know, like, and then tried it, like, 3-4 more times until I finally fucking stuck it. And, like, you know, yeah, I can honestly say I landed a fucking 900 and rode away. Like, it wasn't some half-ass put my hand down, whatever. I fucking stomped that shit.
And that's the...
And I would much rather be able to say that than have quit after the first one and been like, yeah, I kind of landed one once.
I feel the same way with, like, oh, yeah, that's... It's like knowing that, oh, all those plays, that would be insane to see that many plays on a track that you're like, oh, I didn't pay for any of that. Like,
yeah.
Because if he really paid for 20,000 and he's at probably 27.5 at the, you know, as we're recording this.
You didn't gain.
You got 7,000, and honestly, of that 7,000, probably 500 listened to it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because those other 7,000 went, oh, this has a lot of plays. I'm going to check it out. What the fuck? This is garbage.
It almost makes me want to just write a really shitty track, like put it up as somebody else's name, pay for it, and see how many like actual
thought about it,
real views you get, and then talk about it. Because it is kind of an interesting thing. Like, yeah. What's the amount of people that are just like, well, this must be cool because 20,000 people have listened to this.
Yeah.
I need to listen to it. And you can kind of distinguish, like, user 5098 is not very different looking than user Kid Logic on SoundCloud.
Yeah. No, and maybe we should look into doing something like that where we, like...
Just write a track that's, like, all fart sounds.
Well, no. I would think take it seriously. Let's crowdsource a track. Maybe we could do this like in our comments section, or if we actually get our or borrow another forum or something. Get on and get a group of cats to fucking. We'll crowdsource a track. We'll pick an artist. You know, somebody we can stand to listen to, but like a Skrillex. Just for sake of example, we'll say Skrillex. And we'll pick apart what makes Skrillex.
Oh, you just had to say Skrillex in this episode, didn't you?
No, you shall not be named. But we'll pick apart said artist's style, figure out what makes them, crowdsource this fucking track, where we all kind of bounce it around until we get it to where it feels like that, and then make a fake account, fake name, pay for the deal, you know, we'll all throw in on PayPal and fucking whatever and get it. So it's... We're all only throwing in $2 or $3 for sake of experiment, and see what happens.
It's kind of hilarious.
That's what I was just going to say. And get depressed as we watch that track get signed.
Yeah, exactly.
And put on the front page of Beatport and sell more than anything else that we've ever put our heart and soul into.
Living off of that
one track, like, license it.
We quit our job because we're experimenting.
It gets put into the Avengers 2 and we make games off of it.
Gotcha, bitch!
It's like during the Hulk-Loki fight scene.
Wait, this track is public domain, right?
Fuck. Why'd I click that box? Creative Commons. Fuck.
It is interesting to think about, though. It's like...
Yeah, no, it's...
Kind of like that snowball effect. Well, how many people are just... clicking play this because they see 20,000 people.
And you know, to be honest, I would imagine a lot, and it's whatever. It's the same, you know, to be fair, though, it's the same amount of people that would have just been skimming through a radio dial back in the day.
And, sure, yeah.
You know, or oh, Power, like, if you're in L.A. and you were like, yeah, I want to listen to some hip-hop, Power 106, like, go right there and skip through. Like, oh, yeah, I heard that chingy tune. Didn't like it, but I heard it.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Whatever, it's... But, fuck, I'm just kind of lost my train. But that's probably a good spot to just kind of segue into what's hot in the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you guys
got? Let's kick it off.
Oh, man, that fucking Tonight track was pretty dope. Acrylics.
Yeah. I like Corey's bootleg of it a lot more than that track.
I like his commentary of making the bootleg the most. I haven't even listened to the track. And he's just like, yeah, remixing this fucking boring-ass Tonight track.
No, that's actually because
was it a different tune or was it?
No, it's the same.
Oh, I actually like that track a lot. I thought it was fucking dope.
Not to like hate on you.
Not just hate.
Oh,
on
Oh no. I was just laughing at fucking him, just like, because to me I was like, well, why are you fucking doing it then?
But
I know because it talks into exactly what we were just talking
his
about.
His bootleg version is better. Like I liked it more than I liked there. I was like, well, how? What?
Yeah, he did do a fucking awesome bootleg version. It felt like it was like 5 minutes after the track was released or something.
Definitely.
Well, whatever I think is hot gets shat all over.
Well, you anything else? What else you been listening to? Your parents argue.
I've been listening to my parents visit me and being like, so who are you dating? How's work? You should wash your dog.
How does the smartphone work?
and then asking about the podcast and saying that they should listen to it. So hi mom and dad, if you guys listen to this, I've never really experimented that much with hard drugs or anything random like that.
It's all hypothetical.
Yeah, it's totally...
We put ourselves in the position of people who would have done something right. Like that for journalistic purposes.
No, the last Bronisonic release was I actually fucking jam our own shit quite a bit.
I hate
to just, you know, pat myself on the back.
I'll be honest with that too. Like I do put those on. I have a Bronisonic folder on my iPod on my phone, and I just fucking put it on random all the time. Actually.
Well, I mean, I like to hear what my homies are doing, so it's cool.
No, I mean, that's why we put it out. Like, not to fucking turn this into a...
Not to plug fucking shit, but...
But, yeah, I mean, that's why we put it out. Like, I like what all you cats are doing.
Well, I think
it feel the same.
It does kind of tie back with what we were talking about earlier, about not getting stuck or finding yourself in habits that make you mediocre with what you're mm-hmm. doing. Like... I get excited to be like, damn, my friends did this. Fuck, I need to go step my shit up now.
You know what my favorite thing about the comps is? When I get all the tracks and do the sweetening, like, I'm listening through going, holy fuck, this is... My track is fucking garbage. This shit is sick, and this shit's sick. Oh, and this one's gonna go off, and this one... And then, like, we get together, like, a couple days later after it's released, and you guys have heard everything else, and you're like, oh, dude, your shit is fucking the shit, and it's, my shit sucks compared to everybody else's, and, like, we're all thinking that. Like, it's awesome. Like,
it's cool to have, I mean, as much as I want other people to listen to it outside of our circle, I really like having my friends validate my shit, and being like, I listened to it, it was cool, like...
No, because for all the fucking faked buys you could get, like, I was gonna say that when we were talking about it before, like, everybody who's ever followed me, thank you. If you've ever followed me on SoundCloud, Facebook, anything like that, thank you. I would happily turn, like, reduce my number to 10% of what it is if everyone in that 10% listened and commented on what I did.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like...
There's no amount of buys you can get that is more rewarding than your homie being like, damn, dude, you fucking popped off on that shit. I can tell you put some time into that. That's the validation I think artists really want who are passionate about what they're doing.
Peer validation.
Is exactly. Yeah. Having somebody you equally respect be like, dude, good job.
Yeah.
that's what keeps you going. Because if you don't hear that type of shit ever, then you just, you get lost in that, like, self, like, deprecate. You're just like, oh, this is garbage, and oh, and you just have no hope.
Or even the, like, the mentality where you're telling yourself, and I know we're shooting back to the SoundCloud thing by saying this, but telling yourself you have to fake it. Like, fuck that. At that point, where's the enjoyment?
Well, I've been there.
You're stressing out. You're just like, well, now you're worrying about, like, well, I just paid for this. And, like, you just feel guilty. You're just, like, carrying it on your... It's like, I'd rather not even have to, like, think, like, I didn't pay for any of that. I'm not worried. Because I just... That's the same way I feel about my SoundCloud. It's like, the fact that I have as many followers as I do is, like, holy shit. Like, I just... started putting beats up there and I gained people over time. It's like, wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, I was really lax on mine for a while because I got like right up to the limit, and every time I wanted to upload something I had to erase something else, and it was just hard to do, so I just never did it. So I kind of just didn't pay attention to my SoundCloud for a while. So from like 1700 followers to like 3,500, I really wasn't paying attention. And like, so now I look at my numbers and I like compare, like as I'm going through and comparing them to other people, I'm like, how the fuck do I have so many followers on here? Like, it's surreal. Yeah, like I have one of my old like DJ buddies from way back hit me up on, like, I had posted that new mix I did and he hit me up. He's like, oh shit, sick, you know, I'm really enjoying it. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he's like, oh, yeah, just a little something to brighten your day. I don't know if you noticed it, but you've got 4 times as many followers as Danny the Wild Child. And I was like, that's both, like, it does brighten my day, but at the same time, I'm like, what? How the fuck do I, like, because Danny is one of my idols. Like, if I was going to copy somebody's DJing style, like, and, you know, like, not that I ever would, but if I was going to, it'd be his. Like, dude fucking slays. So, like...
You already heard that?
It's, yeah, I'm like, how
but
the
I feel like that there's also SoundClouds that don't cross over.
Right? No, it's true.
There's artists who just don't tap
into it. He's old school, and his fans are definitely, like, pre that era. Like, I mean, fuck, Danny was putting mixtapes out in, like, 97.
I guess there's probably going to have to be a new saying. You just, like, can't judge a producer by a SoundCloud.
Yeah, yeah.
Just can't do it.
Oh, it's also like those fucking gems you find on there. It's like you have 50 followers and your shit is so fire.
I love that.
Yeah, no,
that's, I don't even want to follow you because I don't want other people to know about this shit when I play it out live.
Oh, I used to message people independently. There were a lot of cats who never once got a public display of how much I dug their shit, but I was on fucking messages like, dude, give me everything you got.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I was like, fuck you. Because I'm still of that culture. Like, I wasn't part of it when they used to wash labels off of vinyls. But I definitely covered up more than a couple records back in the day. Like, somebody come up and start train spotting your shit and be like, no, motherfucker, you gotta fucking figure this out yourself. Like, no, Serato. Like the whole DJ AM trick on Serato. You know about that shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Like... I've done that more than a couple times back in the day. Now I'm like, okay, it's my duty to fucking expose you to these new jacks because there's so much garbage out there. But back in the day, like, that was my exclusive. Fuck you. You ain't getting that shit.
Yeah, now it's like, there's so much shit to fucking weed through.
Yeah, now it's like, I need to help these
people. Part of the fun thing is exposure. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want. I mean, there's just there's so many people buying 20,000 views out there. Let's find the fucking cats who aren't and fucking give them the props that they need.
Help them earn 20,000
views. Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's like, I mean, part of why we were doing that was because vinyl, I think we talked about that last, I remember having a conversation about how vinyl used to be its own quality control thing. Pretty recently, so I don't want to rehash that. But yeah, like, that's what it was. Like, there were only so many releases a month or a week. Like, you had to fucking guard that shit. Speaking of releases, I'm gonna hit on my what's hot.
Yeah.
I've been just fucking... I did a post on trainwreckers.com, trainwreckerspodcast.com, if you guys haven't seen it. I've just been really feeling the Jungle Footwork vibe lately, like, heavily, heavily. Even, you know, before I put the mix together and all that. Did I shout Mark Cloud in the last one?
No. You were talking about it.
Yeah, I posted smoking. His shit on the
maybe you did
on
actually.
The page. Who was another one that I was digging? Harry Wellbelove. Follow him. It's Well Be Love, all one word. He heads up. Fucking, of course, I'm blanking on the label, but he heads up a UK-based footwork label. They put out a couple of free compilations. I think they're only four tracks a piece of really quality footwork shit on Bandcamp. It's hashtag FWUK. Like, if you just put that into Google, hash FWUK, you'll find most of Harry Wellbelove's shit. And he actually just did a hour-long mix on Flight FM out of Bristol, where he played one of my tunes, which that was pretty cool. And mix is solid as fuck. There's some really good tracks on there. One of which is a remix by this cat, Plot Twist. Off, look him up on SoundCloud. He just put a free... Where'd I get that? I got the release off Bandcamp, but I found it via SoundCloud. Probably be easier to just find him on there. Quality footwork, jungle shit. He remixes a Dillinger tune. He remixes a Ronnie Size tune. And another one. Matt the Alien's getting into the footwork jungle shit. Some dope shit. Rashad's new shit on Hyperdub came out last month, and I kind of, as much as I was paying attention, like, just flooded with so much shit, I kind of missed it when it actually came out. Quality shit. And, the Jay Kenzo mix I posted on there, I've listened to that shit like 5 times in a row. Jay Kenzo is one of my favorite, like, dungeon style, early style dubstep cats, who still spins dubstep now. And he put together a mix of old school, like, pre-92 jungle.
Nice.
Or not pre-92, like, I would say pre-96 and early. And he did it on Ableton. You can tell he's kind of fucking with shit within Ableton in a way that you couldn't have back then, which makes it kind of cool. D-Bridge just posted one like a week ago that's all... I think the oldest tune on there, or the newest tune on there, rather, is 94. All jungle shit. Like, that's just... I'm just loving sampled breaks, sped up and repeated with heavy sub. I'm just feeling it.
Yeah. Shit. I've just been listening to fucking rap music. That's all I've been listening to for like the last, aside from like a few releases here or there, I've realized all I've been listening to for like the last 3 months is mixtapes. But,
I listen to that I Am Sue.
Yeah, that one's good.
Million Dollar Afro. Oh. That's the one I listen to. I haven't listened to the 6-speed Sally or whatever. That one's good too, but.
And I Am Sue is dope. Mm-hmm. He was just in town. I did not go, unfortunately.
Yeah, we didn't find out about it until the day he was here.
Buckwheat Bill's new tape just dropped today. EP 8886. That shit is dope.
Nice.
Out of Florida. And then I've also been really liking, I think it dropped earlier this month, but Lil B put out a tape, Pretty Young Thug. And that tape is actually... Shit. Really good.
Thank you, Base God.
Thank you, Base God. Base God follows me.
That is pretty good. Now, I was listening to Tacos and Chocolate Milk, and Tone was talking about fucking Mecca One, I think is his full MC name. But one of the dudes on their label, and he was like, Mecca was like, fuck Lil B, man. Fuck that whole shit. It's all fake. Fucking whatever. Blah, 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 blah. And then he was at some show out on the West Coast, and Lil B came up to him. He was like, hey, man, really love everything you're about. Fucking love what you're doing for the kids, and love how your raps are all conscious and shit, man. I really look up to you, man, all this shit. And he's like, come here, motherfucker. Give me a hug. He's like, you can't hate Lil B. You just can't do it.
It's really hard to talk shit on Lil B. I mean, as much... Anytime someone wants to talk shit on him, I'm like,
his army comes out.
He puts in some bad songs, like, there's some bad songs, but, like, Yeah, I think this motherfucker has not dropped an album either.
Ever. Well, no, he did the one. Didn't he do Isn't I yeah, Gay? Isn't that a proper album?
I don't think so.
Well,
all right. I mean, it might be.
I thought it was an album, not a mixtape. But I think that that's like the sure only that one.
He is not done. I mean, yeah. He did some stuff with previous groups, I believe. But
okay,
I'm not. Deep into it. But this is like, I mean, it's basically like the future. This is what Wu-Tang was to like.
Yeah.
Lil B is what like. To kids now is what Wu-Tang was to them.
Yeah, that's true. You couldn't tell me shit about the Wu.
Shit.
Fuck you.
Stab someone.
Still no Triumph by Heart.
And now you're like, what the fuck is based?
Carrie asked me like a couple weeks ago, like, what the fuck is based? What is it? And I was like, I think I talked for like 10 minutes without actually defining it. Trying to define it, and she was finally look it up on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's like, right. It's the easiest way. It's just watch some videos, and then she's like, okay, I think I get it. And then somebody asked her, like on Facebook, and she was like, how do I say it? You just have to link videos.
It's like the same thing when someone asks you what a hashtag is. It's like, yeah. Google. Me, like.
LMGT.
Let me Google that for you.
Yeah. Ask all internet questions to the internet.
On that note,
yeah,
you can find us on the internet.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. No, one of the other questions we had. Well, first off, I want to do some shout outs. While I'm bringing these shout outs up, the last question that we had was from. Of course, my phone is being slow right now. I'll get to who it was from, but are there any other music production podcasts out there? And can you recommend any? I really haven't found any. Like I listen. I know I've said it before on the podcast, but I listen to podcasts at work all day. I do data entry, very boring numbers shit. So I have about 8 hours a day to just sit and absorb podcasts. I've been looking for other ones that talk more about electronic music, kind of the way we do, or production tips, things like that, and haven't really found any. I have found a couple that talk about music and the music industry and just kind of that side of it. Tacos and Chocolate Milk that I was just talking about, definitely check that one out. It's fucking hilarious. It's we've talked about it. I'm not going to go too deep into it on here because I brought it up before. But Tone Deaf and Pac FM, two dudes run QN5 Records out of New York, just talking about being moderately successful independent rappers. The other one is Shots Fired out of LA. It's MC No Can Do and Jeff Weiss, who runs a blog, Passion of the Weiss, talking pretty candidly. They usually have some pretty good guests. It's on the Earwolf Network. I found one recently. I haven't actually had a chance to listen to it, but they have an interview with The Orbital that I want to check out, and I like their concept. It's an interview with an artist and then a mix by someone else.
Cool.
It's called Control Voltage, I believe. Let me double check that. But yeah, that one looks pretty good. It's like an hour and a half each one, so I'm guessing the interview is a half hour and then an hour long mix. Which is Control Freak, FREQ. As far as, yeah, those are the main music ones I could find. To answer the question from Slow Phone.
You can tell we're prepared. Hello, Slow Phone.
From Ransom on Dubstep Forum. I wanted to shout out Ransom, definitely.
Shout out to Wub for sure.
Shout out to Wub for starting the thread on Dubstep Forum. Shout out Mr. Baxter. Strange Flow, of course. Got nothing but love for Strange Flow. Check out his blog, basedelic.com. Let's see. Wubs all up. Just Another DJ shouts out. Oh, shouts out to Ledge, my buddy Legendary. Google him by switching the A with the number 4.
Awesome shit.
Legend 4RY. Ledge makes great, deep, melodic dubstep. He's on Mixlr, which check out Mixlr if you guys aren't on there. MIXLR. Ledge has been doing shows on Mixlr once in a while where he drops like classic dubstep and then plays his tunes. Kills it. You should check that dude out. Let's see. Who else to shout out? Blue 2. Alpha Cat. Scroll.
Edit.
Little
edit.
Wub. Oh, that's Classio. Shouts out to Classio. Thanks for following us on everything. Signals. Shouts out for listening. And the other cats from Dubstep Forum, Angry Ranker, and Strange Flow from Glitch Hop Forum. And what was the dude on? Still the One. Off the Facebook page, who sent us a message. We'll get to that one on the next one. We're running a little long. We'll get to that one. Send us your questions. Hit us on the Facebook page, facebook.com/trainwreckerspodcast, or comment on this episode on the website, thetrainwreckerspodcast.com.
Hit us up
on Twitter at trainwreckerpod. Hit any of us up individually on our various sites, /Lurky/Ghost Mode/Kid Logic for most of them. Yeah, hit us with your questions. If you got something you want to hear our opinion on, or you want to give us your opinion on something we've talked about, shoot us a message. We'll read it on air. We'll talk about it. You got some tunes you want us to check out? We'll give an honest review. And we'll check it out. And if you want some damn music podcast competition, start one.
Yeah.
Or
just hit us up. Like, we just love knowing that you're listening. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's shouts out to anybody who's contacted and said that they've subscribed, they've followed. You guys are why we do this.
It kind of goes back to what we were talking about with SoundCloud. It's just it's awesome knowing you guys are out there listening. Yep. So,
as far as I'm concerned, any kind of organic listens or plays or follows or anything like that is why I do it. I just want to share what's in my head with you guys, and I thank anybody who listens.
So, big ups to all the listeners. We out.
Peace.